Turn your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, as we can heading towards chapter 11, but need to take a look at this, the context here, this lead in to this chapter, that we might understand what's being said. Namely, we're studying about the Lord's Supper and things related to that. We pointed out some things here a couple of sessions ago about the church at Corinth and when it is that the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. He writes from Philippi, seemingly during the course of his third missionary journey. And he speaks to this Gentile church. If you take a look in the book of Acts, Paul spent a year and a half in Corinth. The Lord said, yeah, there's resistance, but I've got people here. And so go ahead and preach, go ahead and teach, go ahead and spread my word, because I've got folks here that I'm going to save. And he did. And he built this church here at Corinth, and the apostle is writing to them. They're people. They're like us. They've got trouble and things that can come along and that. And so we have this admonition that comes to us, an example from this church. Never may we rail on anyone in the Scripture. We can say what it is the truth, but let us not ever think that we are better than they, but just to say what the truth is, what the Lord says about it, learn the lesson, and move on. Experience is not the best teacher. Now, maybe when you're doing some secular work or something like that, or you got a hobby or something like that, maybe experience might be the best teacher. But in regards to living life, experience is not the best teacher. It is not good for us to go sow our wild oats, build a testimony, learn from them, and then come back to the Lord. Better for us to never sow the wild oats. Better for us not to ever pursue sin, but to listen to what God says and learn from other people's lives. And I don't know if I've told this or not, but that's what we've tried to instruct our children. When you look on at folks' lives and how it is for friends, family, ones, maybe the acquaintance that we don't know very much at all other than knowing who they are, or those near to us like our kin or our family, we've told our children, look on and watch and see about the decisions that are being made. Don't rail on them, and don't run them down in your mind, but take a look and see what's going on there. Take a look and look at how it compares to the Word of God and see what God has to say about it. And if you think in your heart that you want to take and push yourself up because of their trespass or their sin, don't think that way. Pray for yourself and consider them and pray for them that the Lord will help them, and pray for yourself that the Lord will help you. And that's the way it should be. We've seen in our message Sunday morning that we are given to be fruit inspectors. And when we see things and that are not according to the Word of God, may we pray for that one. May we have it such that we can pull up beside that one, the Lord blessing, and be able to help them, be a guide to them, be an encouragement to them, to provoke them to love and to good works rather than to envy and strife. And pray that God will move in their life and save them and rescue them from their sin and keep us. Because we can fall into the same thing. This chapter talks a little bit about that. But here the apostle speaking to this Gentile church, he makes reference here in the first part of the chapter about the fathers passing through the sea, verse 1, being under the cloud, baptized unto Moses, eating that same spiritual meat, drinking that same spiritual drink. And in verse number 4, it tells us it was Christ. Turns out, the apostle says it was Christ, the same one that I preached to you, the same gospel, the same one of the gospel that I preached unto you, by which you were saved. He said they were overthrown, in verse 5, by their sin. They were overthrown in the wilderness by their sin. Why? Because they lusted, they desired things that they should not. They were covetous, they were lascivious, they were wicked. And that word lust, we talked about that, how it means desire. And the word lust, in our day and age, we always associate it with something illicit, but it can be just something physical. It can be, you can have a lust that's wrong for too much bicycle riding, especially if it's on Sunday at 10 a.m. You see what I'm saying? You know, and so it's desire. They desired evil things, verse number 6, rather than desiring those righteous things and those good things that God had told them, promised them, worked in them, and all that. They all were there. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. Not all, but with many. And so there is that remnant. There is that those that will be obedient to the Lord. And we all have our times and we all have our issues. But the admonition goes on here. He says, these are our examples, verse 6. Verse 7, don't be an idolater. Don't put anything up between you and God. Don't pursue after things that are not of the Lord. Don't desire that which is evil and wicked. They rose up to play, and 3,000 of them died because of it. Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. We took a look at that over in the Old Testament, and it would not pursue after fornication. Understand, Corinth is riddled. These folks have been riddled with Greek mythology, Roman mythology, and Romans chapter 1 tells us we pursue after idol worship, we pursue after the religion of the world, paganism, Satan, and all that. It will end up into some nasty, nasty stuff. The Lord will give men over to a reprobate mind ultimately. Verse 9, neither tempt Christ. As it was there in that way that they had to go around Edom because Edom wouldn't let them pass through, and they murmured and they fussed and they carried on rather than praying to the Lord. And then in verse number 10, it brings it out in this tempting Christ, as tells us in verse number 9. But in verse number 10, murmuring is what's mentioned that's here. Murmuring is the key. And he says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. What's murmuring? I don't like what's going on. Mumble. Complaining to your neighbor, complaining to your kin, complaining to your friend about what's going on to the point and the purpose of detriment, slander, discouragement. We murmur around those that are weaker in the faith. We draw them down with us. And let us beware of such. If the Word of God says thus and so, let us stand in that. Let us say that. Let us bring that and put that forward. But murmuring, the Lord hates. And here it is. We'll take a look at how it was. Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. Murmuring is cowardly. You say, well, we'll see this example here. It doesn't seem too cowardly. But rather than going straightway as individuals and saying, this is what I think. Can you help me out with this? Here's what happened. Numbers chapter 16. Number 16. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi. So we've got a man there that's a descendant of Levi. And Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses and certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, now these are Levites and these are Reubenites. And as we've taken a look, just a little bit of trivia here for you. The sons of Kohath, if you remember, and as we took a look over in Numbers chapter 3, and that sacrifice, if you will, of the Levites, for the stead of the firstborn in Israel, because God sanctified the firstborn when he established the Passover and delivered Israel from Egypt by the slaying of the firstborn in Egypt. He said, I sanctified the firstborn, they're mine. And so in order to deal with that, all the Levite men, 20 years and upward in a certain range, they're going to be accounted as a substitute for all the firstborn and the balance of Israel. They're going to be mine. And we saw over there, if you recall, how it tells in Numbers chapter 3 around the temple that of the Levites and of the families of the Levites, they were going to be on the south side of the temple or the tabernacle, the west side of the tabernacle, the north side of the tabernacle, and then Moses and Aaron and their family was going to be on the east, on the opening of the tabernacle, at the door of the tabernacle. Levi, the Lord said, I will be his inheritance. He'll not have a land amongst you when you go into Canaan. He'll have some cities. He'll have a little bit of possession, but he won't have a land like the other tribes. I'll be his reward. And there with the order of the tabernacle, Levi was camped up close. He was camped up there close to the Lord. Well, as a little bit of trivia, the sons of Kohath, from which Korah came, they were camped out on the south side of the tabernacle. And you know where Reuben was? Southward. Southward yet again. And so up here at the tabernacle, the sons of Kohath, they're south, and they've been given a charge there in Numbers chapter 3, and you can go read that again when you have time. And then south of him is where Reuben's camped. Be careful about murmuring to your neighbors. Be careful about murmuring to your kin, because they were both, weren't they? They were neighbors and they were kin. And the sons of Eliab, verse 1 and on, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, 250 princes, and they gathered themselves, verse 3, and against Moses and against Aaron, said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. They said, Moses, we're just as holy as you. I think you're taking it a little bit too far. I think you're going too far with this leadership thing that you're doing. I think that we think that it ought to be that we ought to lead in this. Look what Moses does. And praise God for a man of God that'll see it and do it. You pray for me that I'll be able to. I don't have it within myself. But what is it that Moses did? When Moses heard it, he fell on his face. Why did Moses fall on his face? Moses fell on his face because he was afraid. He was afraid for them. He knows what God ordered. He knows the calling wherewith he was called. He's heard the Lord speak out of the mountain. He's heard the Lord give him that word that he gave him. He's heard the order that God has established. And for these to come and say that it needs to be done differently, he's plumb afraid for him. And what's he do immediately when he falls on his face? I guarantee told you he was praying. Lord, help here. Lord, help me. And Lord, help them. And he spake unto Korah, verse 5, and to all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near to him. This do, take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. He's not saying, listen, fellas, I've got control here because I've got control here. He's saying, listen, God has ordered this thing. The Lord has ordered this thing. The Lord has put this thing into motion. The Lord has ordered it this way. You want a proof? Well, tomorrow there's going to be proof. Sad to say. Verse 8, and Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel? He said, this service that you've been given, and whatever it is that your daddy, the family of your daddy, that they've been given to do, you think that that in of itself is a small thing? Listen, you've got a charge of the Lord. Turn over to Numbers 3. Let's take a look real quick at what it is. In Numbers chapter 3, verse number 29, the families of the sons of Kohath shall pitch on the side of the tabernacle southward, and the chief of the house of the father of families of the Kohathites shall be Elizaphan, the son of Uzziel, and their charge shall be the ark. The ark. Not the tents outside, not the curtains outside, but the ark and the table and the candlestick and the altars and the vessels of the sanctuary wherewith they minister and the hanging and all the service thereof. That's their charge. When it's all being broken down, when it's all being carried, when it's all being set up, those fellas are the first ones to go in and take care of what's on in the inside and get it ready to carry. And then when it gets set up, they're the last ones to go in and set it all up, then for that Shekinah glory of the Lord to come down and occupy again. They've been given a thing. And Moses says to them, does it seem a small thing to you that the Lord has separated you to do what he's called you, to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord? Back in Numbers 16:9. To stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren and the sons of Levi with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? God has told you what to do. God has given that. This is given to you of him, and it's a great service. It's a wonderful service, and God has ordered it. And now you want to take on the priesthood also? God hadn't given that to you. Back there in Numbers chapter 3, read what it says here. Numbers chapter 3. Verse number 10. And thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on their priest's office, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. Verse number 38. But those that encamp before the tabernacle towards the east, even before the tabernacle of the congregation eastward, shall be Moses and Aaron and his sons, keeping the charge of the sanctuary for the charge of the children of Israel, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. The Lord said, the way I've set it to be is the way I've set it to be. Don't change it. Don't change it. Back in Numbers 16. And he, verse 10, and he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also, for which cause both you and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. It's not against Moses and Aaron. It's against the word of God. That's the reason Moses feared. That's the reason Moses could speak what he did. You're dealing with God here, fellas, and God's ordered it, and God settled it. I'm not changing it. I've been called to do what I'm called to do, and if I go to change that, I'll be in as much of a strait as you. Because God said it. For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord? And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? God set it up. God's given his word. Verse 12, and Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, these fellows from Levi, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. They're indignant. They're indignant to the leader that the Lord has set up there. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up? Oh, look out. Listen to what they're saying. Listen to what the Lord, remember over in the New Testament, over there in the Gospels, when the Lord talks about one that takes the work of God, the work of the Spirit, and attributes it to Satan. The Spirit of God is offended. The man that does that, the man, woman, boy, or girl that does that, that attributes the work of the Spirit to Satan, never has forgiveness. That's what the Scripture says, not me. Never has forgiveness. Don't go attributing God's work to Satan. What was it they said? Well, this man Jesus of Nazareth, we know how he does. He casts out these demons by the prince of the demons, the devil. See? Mm-mm-mm. What do they say here? Is it a small thing, verse 13, that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey, wherein they were oppressed, wherein they made brick daily, wherein they were probably not allowed to worship their God as they wanted to because of the work and the taskmasters, and then the cruelty of the bondage that was upon a land that flowed with milk and honey? You know, a bad attitude, getting our eyes off the Lord, not listening to what the Lord says and not believing Him. Listen, folks, it'll make us insane. Was that a land that flowed with milk and honey? No. They all went through the cloud, or with the cloud. They all went through the sea. They all ate the same eating, and they all drank the same drinking, and it was of Christ. But not all of them got it. Not all of them heard the Lord speaking. God's speaking His word. He's given it. And I love it. I want it. Lord, help me to get it, to receive it, to believe it, to keep it. Because, Lord, if You say it, that's what I want. And they accuse God of taking them out of a land that flowed with milk and honey, to kill us in the wilderness, except thou take thyself altogether, make thyself altogether a prince over us. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. Yeah, woe. We don't believe you are our leader, Moses, and we don't believe you know what you're doing in spite of everything that we've seen, observed, and been blessed with. What's the scripture tells us in the New Testament? In patience, possess ye your souls. Worst thing in the world for a child of God is to not be willing to wait on the Lord. Not to be willing to wait on the Lord. Whose timetable are we on anyway? Mine? No. Yours? No. The Lord's? Ought to be. Amen. Ought to be. Ought to be on the Lord's timetable. Ought to be dealing with the Lord's doctrine, His truth, His way. And so they slander God in this account. Verse 15. And Moses was very wroth, and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. Said, I have been as good as I can be to them, Lord. I have done what you've told me to do. I have tried to follow you as best as I had within me, and your spirit working within me. I have not hurt them. I have told them what you said. Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them, laid incense thereon, and stood at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. Went right up there to the tabernacle with that censer. Bold. Don't have the Spirit of God because they just don't get it. They don't see it. They don't see the provoking of God coming. Why? Because they don't have the heart of God in them. They don't have the hearing of the Lord in them. They don't have the faith of the Lord in them. Going up to the tabernacle, to the door of the tabernacle with that censer in their hand, defying God and what God has said. The Lord didn't say, okay, occasionally when it suits you, have an election, and whatever works out, you decide between yourselves, and go ahead and let that be the leader. The Lord has not ordered such a thing. If y'all ever get tired of Moses, go ahead and pitch him out. Pick you another one from amongst you. And then that'll be okay, and I'll work with that. Has the Lord ever told him that? No, never. The Lord has told him the way that He wanted. Verse 19, and Korah gathered all the congregation against them under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces Moses and Aaron fall upon their faces and said, "O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and will thou be wroth with all the congregation? Lord, the wickedness and disobedience of this 250, Lord, are you going to hold that against the millions that you have brought out and delivered?" Intercessory prayer again from the man of God, because he loves the people. He wants good for them. He's trying to do good for them because he loves them, because he hears the leadership of the Lord, because he desires the leadership of the Lord. Perfect? No, he's not perfect. He's a man. But he's trying to follow that which God has set up, that which God has ordained. And rather than saying, "Yeah, go ahead, Lord, I'm tired of them too, you go ahead too." A brother said the other day, he said, "If the Lord and Moses ever got together, the children of Israel would be gone." You know, I never thought of such a thing. But, you know, it's the truth. Lord, O God, the God of all the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and will thou be wroth with all the congregation? Verse 23, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," speaking to the congregation, saying, "Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram." Get away from them. Drag it, pack it, roll it, but get it away from them. "And Moses rose up and went into Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, I beg you." I said, get away from them. Get away from those wicked men, because the judgment of the Lord is coming. God has said, it's too late. It is too late. "I pray you, I beg you, get away from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing that is theirs, lest thou be consumed in all their sins." So they get up from the tabernacle of Korah, or his tent, if you will, Dathan and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out. Look at this boldness. Look at this boldness, this diabolical boldness against God and his word and what he has ordered and said. They come and they stand in the door and say, "This is the way we want it, or we want nothing." "And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children." And you know what? That's the thing about our sin. If we pursue after it, if we go after it, if we pursue our way and it's not according to the Lord, we affect everybody around us. Don't forget it. Don't put it out of your mind. Don't push it away. Say, "That doesn't apply to me. That doesn't go for me." Listen, it goes for all of us. If I pursue after my wickedness of sin, it'll affect my children. It'll affect my grandchild. It'll affect my son-in-law. It'll affect everybody. It'll affect my parents. It'll affect all of Clarissa's family that is now mine by virtue of me being married. It'll affect y'all. May God help us to see that. We don't sin just by ourselves. It touches everybody around us. And the worse it is, the farther it goes. It's the innocent that gets touched. Yeah, it's different with me. Lord help. Yeah, you just don't understand. And Moses said, verse 28, "Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind." That's the way it is with a call. That is the way it is with a call. Not a vocation. Because when I had a vocation, my boss gave me the liberty to figure out how for us to pursue business. And we did what we wanted to do. Now, one thing I always did was seek the Lord's blessing and pray for wisdom and understanding, knowledge, ability in my work. But in a calling is that to do what God has called one to do. May God help me not to pastor of my own volition or my own way. But to do what the Lord wants me to do, to be the minister to you that he wants me to be a minister in the community that the Lord wants me to be a witness to sinners that he wants me to be. That it be about Jesus and not about Jim Duke. That it be about Jesus, that it be about his church that he's put here and not Jim Duke. I've not done it of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, you know, that's a reason that's so very important for the man of God to bring the word of God. And every step that he takes. And every step that he takes to bring the scripture to it. And you pray for me that's what I'll do. That's what I want to do. If the Lord doesn't say it in his word, I don't want to fiddle with it. I don't want to go there. Don't want to meddle with it. Don't want to go. But if the Lord's word is there, we need to follow it. If these men, verse 29, die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord, if they die an old age, or if they die what the Lord has ordered it for it to be, he's not called me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Not me. They've not provoked me. Moses says they've provoked the Lord. What the Lord has promised, they said it's not that way. What the Lord has ordered, they say it's not to be that way. They wanted something different. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, when Moses said, have provoked the Lord. As he is saying, have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained to Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit. Them and their wickedness, their disobedience, their rebellion, them and all their innocent wives, daughters, sons, grandchildren, to wherever it was that the Lord cut it off, went down alive. The guilty and the innocent both went down alive into the pit. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Boom. Fire came out from the Lord at the tabernacle, and those that were still there looking for what they thought was the will of God were gone. Just like the 10 spies. They gave an evil report, causing the folks to murmur and railing against the man of God. It came out from that tabernacle and it consumed them. Verse 36. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. And the censers of these sinners, against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar. For they offered them before the Lord, therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be assigned unto the children of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took them, wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad place for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger, which is not of the seed of Aaron, come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah, and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. You know, we need to be careful who we follow. Korah and his company. We need to be careful who we follow. Verse 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you've killed the people of the Lord. Here we go again. And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked towards the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. There he is again. And what is it? And Moses and they, Moses and Aaron, fell on their faces again and prayed to the Lord. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly into the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath going out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,000 and 700, besides them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. In this murmuring, if you go on, and we'll not say much about it, but if you go ahead and take a look at chapter 17, the Lord says, we're going to put the murmuring to a stop. We're going to put the murmuring to a stop. That they have been murmuring against me, the Lord says. Of every tribe, take a rod and write the name of the leader of every tribe on it. And on the tribe of Levi, write Aaron's name on it. And they're going to be put up for a night, I believe. And the one whose rod I cause to bud and blossom and bear almonds, make a distinction, show a sanctification. That's the one that's going to do what I've told him to do. And whose rod was it that budded? Aaron's. Aaron's rod. Aaron's rod budded. And the Lord said in chapter 17, verse 5, and it shall come to pass that the man's rod to whom I shall choose shall blossom, and I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And he goes on here in verse number 10, and the Lord said to Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, First Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed. Of who? The destroyer. Oh, may the Lord help us to see. May the Lord help us to see that pursuing after sin and pursuing after the evil, pursuing after any way that's not the Lord's, makes the Lord our adversary. He will curse that pertains to us. He will make our work and our pursuit and our desire come to naught. The innocent around us can be affected by it. Listen, he's talking to the church at Corinth, and he gives them that example. And why does the Lord tell us and teach us and preach to us, if you will, about not murmuring? Because every single one of us is susceptible to do it. We all have it in us. But we need not be idolaters. We need not be fornicators. Whether it be in the body or whether it be in the spirit. We need not dabble with other doctrine that's not the Lord's. We need not dabble with other quote-unquote churches, assemblies that are not the Lord's. We need not pursue after their way. But we need to pursue after the Lord's way. We need not pursue after the doctrine and philosophy of men. We need to pursue after the Lord and what He says and His good, blessed way. His good, blessed way. Who is there that you can obey that gives a blessing and just keeps giving a blessing? There's none other but the Lord, is there? We should obey Him and we should honor Him and we should serve Him and we should worship Him because He's God. But when we do, there's a blessing that's there because of it, because He is God. Destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 11, now all these things happen unto them for ensamples. Hear it. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. We should not be having fellowship with sin and the wickedness of the world and our depravity and that. Because that's where he's heading towards a place to talk about this fellowship that we have. We should not be found there in our old conversation. We've been saved from that. But we should be found in that conversation that's of the Lord, that's led by the Spirit, that's a witness of the Lord and how He's touched us, how He's delivered us, how He's changed us. Amen. That is to be our conversation. Amen. Conversation, what we think, what we say, and what we do, it ought to be ordered of the Lord. Right. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you, you're far from God. You are far from God. You're dead in trespasses and sins. Listen, you are by yourself. And if you die that way, you're going to be ushered into a devil's hell. Satan's not there yet. And understand that Satan is not the agent of God to persecute and torture sinners. The lake of fire is made for him, and one day that hell is going to be thrown into that lake of fire. But if you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to that hell. Why? Because you deserve to. Because you have been a rebel against God, just like Korah and his gang. And to this point, you doubt the salvation of the Lord. You say, I don't need it. You say, it won't work. You say, some other way. I'll do it my way. I'll follow this. I'll follow that. I'll follow the other. You die that way, you're heading towards the fire. The fire that's never quenched, where your memory will be better then than it's ever been in this life. Where you'll be given a body fitted for destruction that will never perish, that'll never be consumed. Oh, I beg of you. Look to Christ. Right. Repent. You're guilty. Amen. God knows it. You're guilty. And repent. And trust in Jesus Christ. Believe Him and what He did when He came and lived and suffered and bled and died, was buried and rose again, that He did it for you because you need it. Amen. Oh, don't have a hard, adamant heart before the Lord. We pray the Lord will send the Spirit of God and touch you and give you a heart of flesh and break your stony heart. Amen. We pray that God will do that. Don't buck against God. You're not going to win. But salvation is free in Christ. Amen. Come to Him.